Tonight, my work is to speak on the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of holiness, and He is to be reverenced. He is to be spoken of with delight, yet with trembling. Remember, there is a sin against the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible mentions it as the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says of that particular sin that it is a sin that is basically unforgivable. That is, it's unbelief. It's the rejection of the person that the Spirit exalts, and that is Christ. And brethren, it is the ultimate sin that will send each individual to hell. It is the sin of rejecting our Savior. There's a clear phrase used in Acts 8, verse number 29, and I want you to stick with me tonight. I believe that what I'm going to share with you is practical. I believe that maybe if there was one message that I could share on a mission field and I only had one shot at it, it might be this message. 6 weeks ago in Life and Leadership, we had a Bible study out of Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, we learned in verse number 29 that the Spirit speaks to His children, or to God's children. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And so the Spirit speaks to Philip. The question is, does the Spirit still speak today to God's children? And the answer to that question is a resounding yes. That the Spirit does still speak to God's children. But I think that sometimes we are a little illiterate on this topic. I think that we need God to open up the Scriptures so that we understand the voice of the Spirit when He speaks. And that is the title of the message tonight, Learning to Hear the Voice of the Spirit. The greatest threat to the church today is not knowing or hearing the voice of the Spirit. Noise and music and activities and busy schedules all abound. But hearing and following the voice of the Spirit is becoming more difficult with everything that we're flooded with today. We all have little voices in our heads that are got all kinds of things going in our minds all the time. Very little downtime in our lives, and because of that, very little quiet time, very little still time, and as a result of all that, very little time for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is still speaking. In fact, I still believe He's speaking to believers on a daily basis. I believe that He's well, He's alive, He's very active, but it is important for us to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You say, "Preacher, what is one of the problems?" One of the problems that we're dealing with in the voice of the Spirit is the resistance of the Spirit. The resistance of the Spirit. I have 3 points tonight. First one being the resistance of the Holy Spirit. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter number 10. We know that the Holy Spirit speaks. He spoke unto Philip in the New Testament. We know that He spoke unto Paul in Acts chapter 16 when he got a vision from Macedonia to come over and help us. We know that the Spirit was working in the midst of all that. Does the Spirit still speak to you today and me today? I believe He does, and I believe that the Bible says that those that are the Lord's sheep hear His voice. Look at verse number 27 of John chapter 10. "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give them unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." His sheep, God's sheep, hear His voice. How does God speak today? God speaks not by visions and dreams today. God primarily speaks by His Spirit, and He speaks through His Word. And so if we are His sheep, the Bible says that we hear His voice. It doesn't say they can hear His voice or that they should hear His voice. It says, it's an emphatic statement here, that His sheep do hear His voice. That means that if you're a born-again believer, you hear the voice of God. That is characteristic of somebody that's in the fold. one of God's children, that they do hear the voice of God. And, the Bible says, he knows them, and they follow me. It is very important that when the Spirit of God speaks in our lives, whether that's in a moment in the car driving down the highway and you're listening to a song or you're listening to a message or you're praying to the Lord and the Spirit is working in your life, that you follow Him. That you follow His leadership, His guidance in your life. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. But the Bible's pretty clear in a number of texts of scriptures that we grieve the Spirit. And we quench the Spirit. And we're stiff-necked. And we lie to the Spirit. As Ananias and Sapphira did. And in Acts chapter 7, when the martyr Stephen was speaking, he said to the people, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." My friend, he was speaking to lost people. He was not speaking to saved people. It should not be the regular habit of a Christian to be stiff-necked when the Spirit of God speaks. It should be a regular habit to listen and obey or submit to the Spirit. There's a resistance. That's part of our problem in hearing the voice of the Spirit. As we resist, we grieve the Holy Spirit. You ever had something done by someone else that grieved you? That's a somber moment when you're grieved over something. The Bible says it is potential for a believer to grieve the Spirit of God. By the way, when we're talking about the Spirit, we're not talking about an influence. We're talking about a person. He can be grieved. He can be quenched. Here's the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings conviction. He comes out of nowhere in your life, and he rises up and says, "That needs to be changed in your life," or "Don't go that direction. Don't say those words." And he can be quenched. What's the idea of being quenched? It's to pour cold water on a fire, as though to put it out. It's dangerous in a believer's life when the Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit's faithful to speak to us, and then we quench Him. We pour water. We want to put Him out. We don't want that voice. We don't want that restraint. Brethren, that's a serious matter. You ever, in your marriage relationship, brought something up and the other person didn't want to talk about it? Question: do you try to bring it up again? Not usually. Usually you go, "Ooh, I can't touch that part. I can't touch that topic." And what do? You withdraw. You retreat. The danger of resistance is that the Holy Spirit lays low, so to speak, in your life. Doesn't speak up like He used to speak up. And all of a sudden, there's not much communication between you and the Spirit. That's a dangerous place to live. Christian, that's you getting into religion. You're going to become a ritualistic Christian without any life, without the Spirit of God, and without a relationship with the Spirit. Radio and television stations transmit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but we only hear them when we turn the receiver on and tune into the station. Failure to hear the signal doesn't mean the station isn't transmitting. Likewise, hear me tonight, God is constantly transmitting. That station's on all the time. What is that? That means that God does want to speak to you. That means that God wants you to speak to Him. That means that God wants an open relationship. He wants freedom to be able to talk to you about anything, and he wants you to have freedom to talk to him about anything. But if the station's not turned on, we're not in contact. We've grieved, we've quenched, we've resisted the Holy Spirit. We're stiff-necked in some area. Then guess what? The transmitting's not taking place. The communication's not taking place. It's in stillness, not in busyness, that we tune our spiritual ears to hear the voice of the Spirit. That is saying that communication with God is spirit to spirit. It's not brain to brain or mouth to ear. It's spirit to spirit. The Lord speaks to our spirit. He speaks through His Word. He speaks through thoughts and impressions that He brings to our mind. Then our spirits speak to us in words like this. I think the Lord wants me to do that. Oh, there's something that came to mind, and that something that came to mind I know is in agreement with God's Word, and I know that what is on my mind to do, I know that that would please the Lord. Where does all that take place? How does that take place? It takes place by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit communicating to our spirit. One of the reasons why we struggle with hearing the voice of the Spirit is we're running all the time. Sometimes we're resisting, but sometimes we're running. Sometimes there's little time for the Spirit to speak to us. And the Spirit is speaking, and the Spirit wants us to hear, but there's too much going on in our lives. There's no time to listen to the Holy Spirit. Ever been through a busy season of your life in a husband-wife relationship? Maybe you as a husband had to travel, you were gone, or vice versa, and you didn't have communication with your wife or your mate like you had or you're used to. And there were days that just, it wasn't there. How difficult the Christian life becomes when it's not there with the Spirit. When the voice of the Spirit is not being heard in your life. The Christian life becomes extremely difficult. Because the Christian life really is impossible without the Spirit. I want you to see not only the resistance of the Spirit tonight, but I believe this next point will really help us in understanding how the Spirit speaks, the roles of the Spirit. Now I'm going to move quickly through these, but hear closely, listen closely to these truths. One of the reasons why we have difficulty in hearing the voice of the Spirit is we have little knowledge of who the Spirit of God is and what His role is or what His roles are. Number one, if you're taking notes, the Spirit guides the believer. In John chapter 16, verse number 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. It's important to note that the Spirit's commitment in our lives is a commitment to bring us to truth. He's the Spirit of truth. He's going to bring us into all truth. The main role of the Spirit in our lives is that He is the Spirit of truth. He's always going to draw us to truth. He's always going to exalt truth. He's always going to speak truth. He's always going to teach us truth because He is the Spirit of truth. And so if He's guiding us, guess where He's guiding us? He's guiding us to truth. Truth. The Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In truth. In John 14, the Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, verse number 26, John 14, 26, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He shall teach you all things. That's what the Holy Spirit's role is in my life. I was reflecting back to Missions Conference, Brother Forney's message on faith promise giving. And I was thanking the Lord. He taught me some things. The Spirit taught me some things that I had not seen before in the Scriptures. I was so thankful for that. That He took time to teach me and open my eyes to understand something that I did not have the full picture on, but God broadened the picture of truth through that preaching and that teaching. His emphasis is truth. Watch this. It's not experience.
He is not the spirit of experience. He is the spirit of truth. Men today are seeking religious experience without truth. But the Holy Spirit guides no one into experience apart from a foundation of revealed truth. And so here we have a Pentecostal church, and boy, they got the second blessing, and they got the second work of the Spirit, sanctification, and all of this happened. The problem is it doesn't line up with the truth. We don't have a spirit of experience. We do have a spirit of truth. And when those two conflict, hear me, experience is always wrong. And truth is always right. We have a spirit of truth. Jesus said, "Worship me in spirit and in truth." Someone who has an ear tuned to the Spirit will find truth. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Because the Bible says he needs not any anointing in 1 John 2:27. But the anointing that's within will lead you to truth. The Spirit is the truth. And if you're hearing the Spirit, he will lead you to truth. That's what he guides people to. And so relationship with the Spirit is based on the foundation of truth. Now watch this. You and I are human. Some of us are more forgetful than others. I'm very forgetful. Maybe you're getting older and you feel like, boy, I'm forgetting more and more. Guess what? This message that you hear tonight, you will probably not remember 4 weeks from now. Life moves on, doesn't it? You hear a lot. A lot goes through your earwaves. A lot goes through your brain and your heart in 4 weeks. But watch this. The Bible says that the Spirit is so set on us knowing the truth that he will bring, in John 14:26, all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the question is, can I retain 4 times a week under preaching and teaching? No, you can't, but watch this. You have the Spirit. What's the Spirit going to do in your life? First of all, he's going to take you to truth. And then he's going to remind you of those truths when you need those truths. He brings all things into remembrance whatsoever Christ has said unto you. What's that? That's the book right here. He's going to bring those things to your remembrance. Now watch this. He's only going to bring to your remembrance what you know. That means if you don't put yourself under the teaching of the Word of God, you don't put yourself under the study of the Word of God, then what does he have to bring to your remembrance? You don't put yourself under the memorization of Scripture. I can't tell you how many times I've been witnessing to somebody, and the Spirit prompts me with a verse. One of the things we have in our TNT program is Scripture memorization. They memorize certain Scriptures dealing with the Gospel. You know why that's true? So that the Holy Spirit can bring those things to remembrance when you need those things when you're witnessing to someone. You see, the Spirit knows how to bring things to our remembrance. His role is to guide us and guide us in truth and bring those things to our remembrance. Listen, he's our guide. That means he goes before us. That means he leads the way. That means he removes obstructions in our lives that'll keep us from growing. He opens our understanding. He makes things clear to us. That's the Spirit. And so when you're studying a passage and you say, "Huh, I never saw that before. Boy, I saw something fresh today. Who was at work?" The Spirit was at work. He was guiding you into truth. Secondly, he teaches the believer. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth." What is the manual for the Holy Ghost? Right here. He's going to teach us. Listen. Every person, listen to me. I can't emphasize this enough. My word, if you'll take time, I mean quiet time. I don't mean time that's got something else going on. I mean shutting the music off. And you'll sit down and you'll open this book. And you'll say to the Spirit, "Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You hear me? He will deliver. Over and over and over again, he'll deliver. He'll have verses that'll jump off the page. He'll bring truths home to your life. He'll give you something that gives you direction right where you're at, right what you're facing, because the Spirit teacheth and He's faithful to do it if we'll be in the Word of God. Thirdly, the Spirit glorifies Christ. Turn to John chapter 15. This is big. You say, preacher, how's the Spirit going to speak? Well, first of all, He's going to speak on the foundation of truth. He's always going to be about truth. He's always going to be about leading you into truth. He's always going to be teaching you, opening your eyes, helping you to have understanding of the Bible and how it applies to your life. But the Spirit glorifies Christ. May I say this? Spirit-filled people are to be Spirit-instructed people. We're to be instructed by the Spirit. No time for instruction, no way to be Spirit-filled or Spirit-controlled. When we're under the Spirit's control, we are not only informed of truth. Watch this. We need to be informed of it, but then controlled by it. That's what God wants. And so He takes time to instruct us if we'll get under the Word of God and we'll get into the Word of God. He will instruct us so that we can be controlled by it. That's a Spirit-filled person. And so the Spirit glorifies Christ. Look at this truth in John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, what is He going to do? He shall what? Testify of Me. Testify of Me. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 3, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. When a preacher stands up and declares that Jesus is the Lord and He is to be exalted, by the way, the song ties right into this truth, Be Thou Exalted. But when a preacher stands up and does that, he can't do that but by the Holy Ghost, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. R.A. Torrey said this, that the great preacher said, it is only through the testimony of the Holy Spirit that men ever come to a true knowledge of Christ. Turn to John 16. I want you to see this glorification of Christ or this testifying of Christ. Verse number 14, the Bible says, He shall glorify Me. For He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. I want you to see that the primary work of the Holy Spirit is not only truth, but it is to testify and glorify Christ in my life. So what is the Spirit going to do? The Spirit is always going to bring Christ in your life front and center. He's always going to exalt Christ before you, because that is His ministry, that is His role in the New Testament. Okay, preacher, I get all that, that's theory. How does this really work? Here's how it works for an unsaved person. He comes to someone that has no Bible training. He comes to someone that has no Bible education. And he takes the person of Christ, and he shows that person the person of Christ. That's what he does. He shows that person hope through Christ. He shows that person the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And that's the only answer for mankind. And what does he use to do that? He uses the Word to do that. He uses the Word like Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. And the Holy Spirit brings that truth home to an unbeliever and convinces them of the person and the blood of Christ as the payment for their sin. He testifies of Him. He glorifies Him, Jesus. He puts Jesus in front of them, front and center, and says, here it is, here's your gift. That's the Spirit of God that does that. He convinces a person of Christ's deity, of the fact that He's the God-man, that He's the Messiah. He takes a Jewish person and helps them to understand that this Messiah thing is not up for grabs. This Messiah is found in Isaiah chapter 53, and He was wounded for your transgressions, and He was bruised for your iniquities, and He brings them to Jesus and shows them that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit comes to the Christian and helps him to understand the words of Christ. It is with the Holy Spirit that He exalts Christ in our lives. He helps us to understand the nature of Christ as believers, that He's full of compassion and mercy. He's the ultimate example of love. He's the bright and morning star. He shows us that without the blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. But with it, we overcome Satan. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the offices of Christ, that He's prophet, and He's priest, and He's king. He's the high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's our intercessor. He's the mediator between God and man. He'll show you the prayers of Christ and how He prayed at the pinnacle stress point of His life and said, "Not my will, but thine be done," the ultimate example of submission. He'll show you, the Holy Spirit will show you how He intercedes on your behalf day and night before the throne. You see, when the Holy Spirit is speaking, He's going to direct your mind, and He's going to direct your mind to the person of Christ. He testifies of Christ. Here's a great truth. Whatever He shows you about Christ, you have. It's not you're going to lunch with your friends, you're in elementary school, and you got this delicious dessert that you're proud of. And you go around your classmates, "Boy, look what I got today. Don't you wish you had what I had? But it's mine." No, the Holy Spirit, whatever He shows you about the person of Christ, you have. Huh, that's a great thought. It's not what I can't have. It is what I have in Christ. When you're dealing with the things of Christ, you're on Holy Spirit ground. You're following the track of the Spirit. In everyday life, the Spirit will impress upon your heart how to respond to people. How do you think Christ would respond to people? I think He would respond to people according to the fruits of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance. I believe the fruits of the Spirit are the perfect description of our Lord. And so as you're walking through life tomorrow and something comes up, oh, the Spirit's, this is how you handle that. Hey, this is how you respond. But why? Because this is how Jesus would respond. And when the Spirit's in control, the Spirit's always going to lead you to how Christ would respond to the trouble, how Christ would respond to the situation, how Christ would respond to the conflict, how Christ would respond to the apple cart being upset in your life. Why? Because the Spirit's ultimate interest is to glorify the Son and to teach us about the Son. Does the Holy Spirit deal with sports, debates, controversies, romance novels, fiction, Facebook? No, here's the issue, brethren. The issue is the Spirit has a role. And that role dictates the interest of the Spirit. You ever talk to somebody about something that you have no interest about whatsoever? You ever found it hard to stay in that conversation? We got our minds and we got our lives and all kinds of things that really, I'll be honest with you, is not the Spirit's interest. The Spirit's interest is Christ. The Spirit's interest is teaching us about Christ, bringing Christ ever before us all the time. But we got our minds in all kinds of things. It's just not the Spirit. You're not going to find the Spirit there. I enjoy sports, to be honest with you. Keep up on it. But you know what? I'm not going to find the Spirit there. The Spirit's not going to be speaking to me while I'm watching a television game. The Spirit will speak to me. I got a quiet time to talk to Him. I got some questions I need answered. I got some guidance I need. Lord, I need some truth on this matter. Lord, would You reveal a passage of Scripture to me this week that I can help this individual or these people with? Oh, now, whoa, I'm on Spirit ground. Now we're on the same wavelength. Oh, the transmitter's tuned. Oh, we're talking. But brethren, hear me. Our lives are so filled with things that the Spirit has. They're not high on His priority list. And we're leaving behind the things that are. That's the sad thing. And so the voice of the Spirit is becoming a whisper. If that, some days, some weeks, no communication with the Spirit. Communication on Facebook, communication with other people. Interest in politics, interest in sports, debates over all kinds of things. But hear me, that's not where you're going to find the Spirit. You're going to find the Spirit quiet. You're going to find the Spirit in the Word. You're going to find the Spirit when you ask Him to teach you something about Christ. Distractions abound in our minds that are stealing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And by extension, the things of Christ, the knowledge of Christ, the nature of Christ, the prayers of Christ, the works of Christ, the offices of Christ, the blood of Christ, and I could go on and on. We are becoming bankrupt in. Because there is no time with the Spirit. The things that I've talked about tonight could be labeled as the ignorance of men. When the Holy Spirit is the intelligent one that gives us the things that we really need in life as it relates to Christ, and we're leaving that in the background, we don't hear His voice. The Spirit of God distributes spiritual gifts. Don't have time to spend on that. The Spirit of God resides in the believer. You know that truth. Many verses on that truth that I could share. The Spirit of God produces fruit in the believer's life. How's He going to speak? He's going to speak according to the fruit that He wants to produce. He's going to bring in love. He's going to bring in reasons for you to be joyful. He's going to bring in how you can be gentle. He's going to show you how you can be good to somebody else. You say, where does all that come from, preacher? That just comes from my good heart. No, it doesn't. It comes from the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that brings that life to my life and your life. The Spirit corroborates evidence of salvation. You ever had doubts? A lot of people in this room have had doubts of salvation. That's a real thing. Sometimes those doubts are from the Spirit. And sometimes those doubts are not. But you know what? If you take the Word of God, you study the book of 1 John, and you're not sure if you're saved, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That means the Spirit, if you're interested in knowing for sure, will corroborate the evidence. He will line it up and bear witness and testify within your soul and put a peace in there that lasts forever, that I know that I'm saved. Where does that come from, preacher? That comes from the Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit directs people to the Word and works through the Word. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Where did this book come from? It came from the Spirit. He carried men along to record the words of God for us today. My word, do you think He's going to work outside this book? I'll tell you this, the Spirit works and He works through this book in our lives. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The first is to receive the Word. The second is to receive the Word explained by the Spirit. And the Spirit comforts the believer. Whew. How does He comfort us? Watch this. This is terrific. He brings Christ right in front of us. He develops our knowledge of Him. Paul said that I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. You say, preacher, how's this work? I'll give you how it works tonight. One of the greatest studies you can do is on the names of Christ. Because the Spirit will comfort you with His names. He will comfort you with the fact that He's the Good Shepherd who gives His life for the sheep. He will comfort you with the fact that He's the Savior. He'll comfort you with the fact that the end is coming and He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
He'll comfort you with the fact that he's been a faithful witness and everything he records here is absolutely true and trustworthy. He'll comfort you with he's the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is never going to die. He's the Redeemer. He's the light of the world. He's the door and he's the way. He's the truth and he's the life. He's the bread of life when you feel feeble and weak and you just need something. You ever been there? You just need something from him. From here. God, show me something. He's the bread of life. You can feast on him and his word. He's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. He's Emmanuel. God with me. He's my master. He's the word. Boy, preacher, I failed miserably. Man, I sinned. I regret it. He's the advocate that goes to the Father on my behalf. He's the author and finisher of our faith. When I can't go anymore, he finishes my faith. When I don't feel saved, he's the finisher. He's the author of it. He's the author of eternal salvation. I'll never lose it. He's the beloved Son. He's the wonderful Counselor. When I need direction, I don't know where to go. He's the Counselor. The wonderful Counselor. He's the head of the church. He's the Holy One. He's the heir of all things. He's the I Am. He's the King of Jews. He's the Lord over all. He's the Lord our righteousness. He's the man of sorrows. Can be touched with mine. He's the mighty God. And he's the Prince of Peace. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the shepherd and bishop of our souls. He's the true vine from which life comes from. He's the Word of God. You want comfort? You just spend some time with the Spirit. And I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll bring the Savior in front of you. Those of you that write cards, we have a lot of card writing that goes on in the church. Can I give you a word of advice and comfort? Share a name of Christ in your card. Because the Spirit speaks of the Son. And though he is our comforter, he draws our attention to who? The Son. I just read through some names. I didn't cover them all by any means. Did you find any comfort in some of those? Whew. He's the comforter. How's he going to speak, preacher? He's going to speak words of comfort when you need it. Where's that going to come, preacher? It's going to come from the Holy Spirit. Watch this. If you know and are used to hearing his voice. Truth of the matter is, every Christian here is going to need God's comfort somewhere. Life is hard. But hear me. When life is hard, you better have a relationship with the Spirit. Because at that moment, you'll need his comfort. And if you don't have relationship with the Spirit and your spirit relationship is broken tonight, one of the things that I would speak to you to motivate you on is this. You better get it repaired. And get it repaired quick, like tonight. Because you need the work of the Spirit in your life on all these fronts. I'll be transparent with you tonight. In my life, I've not always had a strong relationship with the Spirit. I'm not proud of that. I've gone through seasons of my life where resistance, running, not taking time with him. And when those things are in place, my relationship with him is not strong. But I'm thankful for this. Every time I've been there, and I've realized, whew, I'm dry.
I don't have the life that I should have. I don't have the relationship with the Spirit. I'm not hearing. And that's not his fault. You know what I found? I found this. He's always ready to restore it. Thank God for that. He's ready to restore it. I ask you tonight, do you need some restoring with the Spirit? His voice isn't as strong as it used to be. He reproves the believer. Another role. Pricking our hearts. Reproving of sin and righteousness and of judgment. By the way, there's a difference between Holy Spirit conviction and satanic accusation. Listen to this. This is important for some of you. The Holy Spirit will never convict us of repented and confessed sin. The Holy Spirit never takes us back. That's Satan. The Holy Spirit will convict us before we commit sin. And He will convict us of sin that we have not confessed and repented of. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. But the work of the Holy Spirit is not to take us back to sin that we have repented of and confessed of. Satan will entice you to sin and then condemn you for doing it. The Holy Spirit doesn't just tell us that our sin is bad, but He tells us to come back to Jesus and restore our fellowship. That's part of conviction. Hey, you've done wrong. Here's the way back. That's the work of the Spirit. He enables believers to witness, and He gives life to the believer. I've got to shut down tonight. But could it be that you're living life with a dead battery? You say, preacher, what's that like? Spiritually, you feel dead inside. You're missing the fellowship of the Spirit. The relationship of the Spirit. The Bible says in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. That means that the Spirit can take a dead relationship, watch this, and make it alive. He quickens that which is dead. Is it possible for a believer to have a dead relationship to the Spirit? Oh, yes! Is it possible for the believer to have that relationship back? Oh, yes. God wants every believer in here to have a real fellowship with the Spirit. He's got roles to play in your life that nobody else can play. You know, a child without a father or mother, nobody that can really replace that role, can they? And there's nobody that can really replace the role of the Spirit in your life either. These roles are identified in Scripture.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.